I talk about God's guidance, God speaking his guidance into our lives. You know, I was looking at the New Testament reading that we had, and in that New Testament reading, Paul's talking about how he's called us to live a holy life, not because of anything that we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. His grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but now has been revealed through the appearing of Jesus Christ. You are in the time of that revealing. You're in the time of that revealing of God's purpose and his plan for you. This has been something that God has seen from the beginning of time. And you and I have the most amazing opportunity to live in this wonderful purpose and presence of God through Jesus Christ, through our faith in him. It's just an amazing thing how we need God's guidance. And I need it. Jill was mentioning mistakes. I felt like raising my hands. I don't always follow the instructions. You know, I'll think I can put it together, and then I'll realize that there was one doing fairly recently that was very complicated. And then I did get the instructions, and I did get it together. But we do mistakes. Do you guys do mistakes? I mean, I do. I do a lot, and I need God's guidance. So what we're looking at is actually the book of Habakkuk. I want to focus on the book of Habakkuk because in this book, it's a very short read. If you get time later on in your busy day or this week, set aside some time to where you can just read it through. It's about 3 pages or so, and it's a marvelous book because what he does is he mentions 6 questions that are very real and difficult questions. You saw just a snippet of one of them as we were reading from the first chapter. But he raises questions like, why are bad things happening? Why is the world so messed up? They were Jewish people, for example, and as Jewish people, they were not following God's ways, and so what God did was God was bringing judgment on them through a nation that was not following God. They were ruthless people, just doing horrible things to them. And so he asks the question, he says, why? What is with this, God? Why are you seeming to abandon us? And so many times I've talked to people who have gone through difficult times in their lives. They've gone through struggles with relationships. They've gone through struggles with their health, with their finances. And they ask God, why? Why is this happening? What is the purpose of this? Where is God in the midst of all this? And these are the types of questions that Habakkuk raises. Because we need guidance, because we do mistakes, don't always get it right. I put some pictures together like what Jill had. We got a laugh out of this week. We were, you know, not everything works out the way you planned. How is that even possible? I'm not sure how that's even going to get repaired, but Chris, you can go to the next one. I thought, you got to give it to the guy. I mean, he's really trying here. That's probably one of the most inconvenient ATMs that I've ever seen, but he's going for it. Go ahead, Chris. You can go to the next one. There you go. Hey, like that. You go to work one day, and the you come back in the city. This is where it goes. Sorry, this is where it's supposed to be. So, yeah, my son is studying architecture, and in the first service, Chuck Riefsteck was here, who was an architect, and it's just like, what was the plan here? I don't know how that worked out, but it's amazing. Yeah. Dan Roney was at the Saturday service, and he used to work for the city of Urbana. And I asked him, I said, has this ever happened? And he kind of said no. But what I thought was funny is the guy's still there working. He's just doing his job. So, yeah, I don't know what's with this. I couldn't figure that one out. It's some planning thing. So look carefully. Knowledge of architecture and planning. Just notice where the C is. It's on the brick there. So, I mean, we all do mistakes. This one, I could not figure out how this is even possible. But there you go. It is. There you go. Your thirst. All right. This is the last two. Do not stack. Asia. I used to live in Africa. I mean, I could imagine something like that happened. So, you know, all of us, I think it's just It's kind of a imaginary if we were to think that we wouldn't need God's guidance. And in things like this, this type of stuff that you just saw is a great example. Because let's say if you are one of the people that happen to have done one of those mistakes, I can guarantee your life is going to be full of much stress and distress and worry. And it's in those situations like that that God really wants to minister to you. And it's really important for us to get our minds around this, that it is a very personal and deep relationship that we have with God, and God is very interested in the daily things of our lives. The reason why He is because those daily things that stress us out and worry us affect how we interact with other people. They affect our attitudes, our personalities, our abilities to interact, our abilities to love, our abilities to care. They affect our families. They affect our workplaces. Where we are called to be salt and light, those are the very same things that are difficulties and challenges to us. And when we do fail, when we have difficulties in life, it's where we need God really to speak to us. And so what I want to concentrate on today is how we can actually have this sort of practical guidance in our lives. What do we do? What do we do when we feel overwhelmed and we feel stressed? Does God care? Certainly He cares. He cares infinitely about us. And the prophet Habakkuk is a great example of how to actually have God's guidance in a very practical and meaningful way in our lives. And he does some things. Chris, you can go to the next one. This is the main verse that we want to look at. The Habakkuk the prophet says, he asks God these very difficult questions, these very trying things in his life, and he says, "Then I will climb my watchtower and I will wait to see what the Lord will tell me to say and what answer he will give me to my complaint." The Lord gave me this answer. Write it down clearly on tablets and what I reveal to you so that you can read it at a glance. He wanted it to be something that would help him, that would encourage him. But the very first thing that he did, the very first thing that he did in getting God's guidance was he went off to a quiet place. You go to the next one, Chris. And he got alone to a quiet place, which is really, really key. Now, you know, when you are overwhelmed and when you are stressed, it's good that you just get to a place where you can just have an opportunity to be quiet. I have friends that practice this every day. For example, when they get up in the morning, they reserve time for God. They get up in the morning and they say, "This is quiet time that I'm going to give to God," before they get into the rat race of their life. And I admit, I see the importance of this. Sometimes in my schedule, I have to hit the ground running, and I miss that. And it's not the same. It's important to have that opportunity where you can just quietly get yourself ready for the day, get your head in the game of God's grace working and empowering you and strengthening you, and let Him just encourage you. You might not know what a watchtower is. A watchtower is not a place on a castle or a fortress where you go for defense. A watchtower to them in their agrarian culture was a lonely place that was built out in their vineyard or in their wheat field. And it was a place away from their house, a place away from everything, where they could just go and they could just gather, they could chill, and they could just relax. And they could be quiet. And this is such an important principle for us because we are so busied with life. And you guys feel overwhelmed with all the stuff you got to do? I mean, does it just kind of bubble up from time to time and you think, "Oh my goodness, how am I going to do this?" You know, I mean, this is reality. And Jesus understood this. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. And the other verse there where it says, "Then Jesus talked to his disciples," that actually in context is one where they heard some very, very difficult news. In the context, they are overwhelmed completely with all the stuff that's going on. They have no time to rest. They've just heard about the horrible death of John the Baptist. He was violently attacked and beheaded. And they're hearing all of this word. And Jesus knows that they are stressed, they're overwhelmed at the loss of their friend, and he says to them, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest for a while. And so they get into a boat and they go to the other side of the river, other side of the lake, Galilee. But of course that doesn't work because the people see him leave and they run to the other side of the lake, so the masses are there waiting for them. But Jesus steps out because he is God and he's got the power and got the strength, and he ministers to the people, and that was where he fed the 5,000. But with us, we need that time. We need that time to just be quiet. We need the time just to get alone to a quiet place. Which brings up the next point, because it kind of builds on it. We have to calm our heart and wait on God. That's difficult for me to do. That is difficult for me to do when I have all the demands and all the things in my mind. You know, we just have to practice that. It's something that we have to learn. The prophet said, and I will wait to see what the Lord will tell me. The psalmist said, be still and know that I am God. I think that's the key, actually. I think for us to really have calm hearts and wait on God, we have to come to the conclusion that God is in control. Regardless of what I see, God is in control and God is love. I know that God is love because I see the cross of Jesus Christ and I see the scars on Christ's hands. Christ would not have expended that sacrifice for me and for you if he didn't love me. And God doesn't lie. Now, this world lies, and this world will give you a very different view of things. But the idea is that we have to see things through God's eyes. We have to see that God is in control. And as we begin to get our minds around that, which is a challenge, it actually is a way that we can calm ourselves and bring peace to our hearts and minds. It is really helpful, and it is key for us to do this. You know, this life has gotten more complicated. It really has. I know from teaching high school, one of the things, I asked the high school students, I asked them, what worries you and stresses you the most? What worries you and stresses you the most? And the answer that I got from almost all of them was that we are too connected. We either have Facebook, we have Twitter, we have Tumblr, we have Snapchat, we have all of these things. We are so brutally connected to anything, everything. And I have to constantly check all this stuff. They don't want to miss a social connection. They don't want to miss out on the news. They want to know what people are saying. And they're just feeling this overwhelming burden to be connected. And it is wearing on them. It's hard. It's difficult because they cannot detach. And this is something that is really difficult. It's hard, and it is a learned skill where you just say, no, you know, God, you got this. If I don't get that tweet, the world's not going to end. It's going to be okay. I can just rest and relax in you. And that is a challenging thing to do. That is a challenging thing just to rest in God. You know what's interesting? When you think about how the world is going and what we live in, you ever notice, how many have cable and satellite? Do you ever notice how you have tons of channels and nothing worth watching? You know, I mean, you think about it, and we have, how many wellness health magazines do we have? Has wellness really improved? You know, you look at other things that we have so many conveniences, but it seems like we have less time. And we spend more and we spend more money, but we enjoy things less. So there just seems to be a challenge to us in our life where we just have to kind of draw back and we have to relax and we just have to let God just fill us and bless us and let him speak to us, which is the third point, because this is really where we find our strength. You see, God communicates to us through means. He communicates to us through means that he has set. It's not guesswork. It's very clear by which he does this. He uses the Word of God. That Word of God speaks to our heart. It creates faith. It sustains faith. It speaks to us in the situation that we're in. And you can go to the Word of God and you can find encouragement for any and every situation that you happen to be going through in life. Another means that he uses to communicate to us is Holy Communion. He does this by, when you come up and you partake in Holy Communion, you get the Lord's body and his blood. And what he's telling you is he's saying, you are forgiven. You say, I don't feel forgiven. I feel like I've done wrong this week. I feel guilty. I don't feel like I'm worthy of this. And Christ says, I know you're not, but it doesn't matter. I paid for those sins. Do you believe that? Receive this. It's grace. It's grace. It's the grace of God that leads us into a deeper relationship with God, a deeper appreciation of the love that he has shared with us. And it's through these means that he brings it into our lives. And that's his guidance, you see. That's the guidance that he takes us through in this life. And it brings us encouragement and it brings us hope. Because there are far too many times that we blow it, that I blow it. And we need God just to speak his word of encouragement into our lives. You know, we don't have time to look at it, but I'll end with this. Is that the prophet Habakkuk ends this book with the most amazing testimony. See, he started off with these really serious questions. There's six questions that he brings up, and they're really, many people have questions similar to that. You know, why bad things happen? And then he waits for God's response. He gets God's response. He writes it down. And aren't you glad he wrote it down, because we're able to read it and be inspired by it today? And then after that, when he's gotten this word from God, even though he hasn't really seen the answer yet, he just has the faith to trust in God, he breaks out into this beautiful psalm of worship, and that's how the book ends. He just worships God. And in it, he has words like, he says, though the grapes fail, though the new wine perishes, though there's no oil, it doesn't matter. I give praise to God because he's watching over me and God is in control. God has got this and I'm going to trust him. And he just goes into worship. And worship is such a beautiful expression of the faith that God has worked in our hearts. Worship is where we just acknowledge the fact, God, you're good and you got this. And I'm going to calm myself down and I'm going to let you just work what you're doing. It's a wonderful testimony, and it actually makes us a testimony of this beautiful grace that saves us in Christ. I really pray that God would bless you in that this week, you know, he'd give you the opportunity just to practice that, just to have that opportunity just to experience God's guidance in a very meaningful and practical way. God bless you and keep you in this grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord God, we thank you that you come to us in the person of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that he paid for our sins on the cross and opened up a wonderful door of fellowship with you. And Lord, that you love us and you care for us. But Lord, help us to dedicate our lives. Help us, Lord, to turn our hearts and minds to you, to seek you, to desire your will and your way in our lives above all other things. Lord, nothing else satisfies like you. Lord, open our eyes, bless us, draw us deeper into you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.